Today, we are talking about how we can be one in the body of Christ. You know, Jesus' prayer for all of us as Christians for the church is that we would be one. That we would be one as people, as He and the Father are one. That we could stand and be one together. We would work together. We would serve together. We would be who He wants us to be. Together, we would be one. And there's a uniqueness about all of this, and the uniqueness is that uniqueness that Jesus taught us about Him and His Father. That the two of them were one. Think about what that means when He prays that prayer to be one. Think about what it means when He says, "Let them be one, Father, as You and I are one." I mean, there is no distinction between God and who He is and Jesus and who He is. There's no distinction between the two. They just came in different forms. And so when He prays that prayer for us, think about what that means for us as the body. To be the body of Christ. To do the work that He's called us to do. To be one together as we stand before Him and as we work, as we serve. Think about what that means to you in your life. In your church, in your family, in the things you're involved in, that we stand together as one. I have a short little video I want to show you. Is this going to work, do you think? Yeah. I have a short little video I want to show you because I wanted to set the stage for what we're going to talk about this morning. So take just a minute and watch this video.
Ed Stetzer, along with Lifeway, to do research on 350,000 churches across the United States. Now, as a result of that research, what we discovered is you can put every church into one of five categories. And so in category one are churches that are actually in decline or subtraction. That's category number one. Then in category number two, you have churches that are plateaued. And if you put category number one, decline, and category number two, plateau together, about 80% of the 350,000 churches in the United States would be in categories number one and category number two. And then in category number three, you have churches that are growing by addition. And across the United States, about 16% are growing by addition. Those are category number three. And then if you move to category number four, what we call reproducing churches, about 4%, only 4% of all churches across the United States would be what we call reproducing, planted a site or planted a church. And truth be known, if you dive a little deeper, only about half of those did it on purpose. About half of them were by church splits. So really only about 2% intentionally reproduced. And then finally, you have category number five. And those are what we call multiplying churches or movement-making churches. And as best we can tell, according to our research, there are no churches that would fall into Category 5. Overall?
That's all right. He said what he needed to say, let me tell you. David Ferguson, I've known for 20-some years. David started the church in Joliet, Illinois, a suburb of Chicago, probably 25 years ago, and I met David at that time. Since then, David has been very involved in how do we grow as the body? How do we grow as a church? How do we take what Jesus has called us to do and take it to the next level and do what He wants us to do as a church? You know, we believe that the heart of God is to bring people to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Agreed? The desire of Christ when He came to earth was to open the door so that as many people as possible could come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. And if we are reflecting the heart of God, if we're doing what God calls us to do, then we are going to be doing the same thing. We are going to be people who are reproducing ourselves, that is Christians, in multiple ways and any way that we can. One of those ways, obviously, we can do that is by reproducing churches. And as all of you know, we are in this kind of conglomeration, merger, morphing. There are all kinds of words you could use for what's happening right now between Axis and Mason and LifeBridge, Axis and Middletown. And it's this coming together of two bodies saying, We are going to be the church together. Yes, we are going to meet in different locations. Yes, we are going to have different people participating in those places. But together, we are going to work to be the body of Christ that reproduces the body of Christ in as many places as we possibly can. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I haven't shared with you yet, and I don't think Stephen did when he was here a couple weeks either, there's actually another venue that you are not aware of yet. It's called Project 215. Project 215 meets in a coffee shop in the Axis building in Mason. Rob and Amy are very involved in Project 215. As a matter of fact, Rob does the music for 215. Hey, if you guys haven't met, hadn't Rob done a great job? We appreciate Rob. Heather's here and helping with the music. And we appreciate that. Heather brought her husband, Greg. She only brought him because he went to Milton's this morning and got donuts for them. And that's the real reason Greg is here. It was a little closer to the Milton's than normally. And Amy is just fantastic. Rob's wife, Amy, and their kids and all the children. So we want to thank you guys for that. But the point is, we are here to be reproducing people. And with all of my heart, that's what I want to see us do. I want to see us grow as a church, see us grow as people, see us grow spiritually, individually, and grow as the body of Christ. I want to see what God has in mind for us and then step on board the way that He is making. Years ago, Rick Warren used to say this. He'd say, you know, we often talk about following waves. And of course, Rick Warren grew up in Southern California, he lives in Southern California. He didn't grow up there. Lives in Southern California. And Warren used to say, if you ever go out to the ocean, one of the things that you recognize is that you cannot produce a wave. In Southern California, they have some of the best surfers there are anyway, anywhere. And those surfers will tell you, the first lesson you have to realize is, you can't produce the wave, but you can recognize the wave. And the best surfers are those who are able to recognize the waves that are coming and then ride those waves. One of the things that we need to do as people, as a church, as Christians, is not try to produce waves, but to recognize the waves that God is sending our direction. And when we recognize those waves and we jump on those waves, then God can do incredible things through us. And so one of the things that's happening with us right now is God is sending a wave. It is a wave that we can jump on and we can be a part of and we can participate in. And that is partnering with other Christians and other churches and other bodies. And that's where the whole idea of this coming together, this merger came from, is that we can be stronger together than we are apart. Recognizing that we are all a part of the body. And as David Ferguson says, we don't want to be in group one or group two, those churches that are either plateaued or declining. We want to be a part of those churches that are not only growing, but reproducing. We want to be a part of the body that is expanding in our community, in our state, and across and around the world. We want to be a part of the body of Christ that is growing and reproducing the body of Christ. Our goal is not to have a church that runs 5,000 on Sunday morning. If that happens, that happens, but it's not our goal. You know what our goal is? Our goal is to have a strong body of believers that meets here. Our goal is to have a strong body of believers that meets in Mason. Our goal is to have a strong body of believers that meets maybe in South Dayton or Franklin or maybe Cincinnati. Maybe we can influence and work with a church in Indianapolis or someplace else so that we can reproduce the body of Christ around the world. As you know, we have good friends, Pramod and Ranjana, who actually are from India. They live in Dayton. They were here Wednesday night a week ago, and we got to hear some of what happened when they were just in India. But good friends, and one of the things that we always are excited about with them is when we hear about the baptisms that are taking place. They just came back from India, and they were telling us about 8 baptisms, people who were Hindu background, who were Muslim background. And you know, in India, when that happens, it means probably their family is going to just cut them out, cut them off, have nothing to do with them. Yet they are willing to step out in faith and follow the body of Christ. That's what we want to do, is be that body of Christ. And we've been studying in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to continue to study this morning in Ephesians chapter 4 as we talk about that one body. And so I want to start by just reading a section of this scripture. You can follow along in your bulletins, probably an outline. You'll see the scripture on the screen. Just listen as I read the first part of Ephesians chapter 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This morning, as we've been talking about different subjects, I want us to talk about the one body. You know, in the first week that we did this, Stephen was actually here and he taught that morning, and he talked about calling that we have received and the mission that we're on and the direction that God is sending us. And we looked at the Great Commission that Jesus gave us to go into all the world to make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them. Last week we looked at and talked about the love that we have for one another in the body. That is a part of the body. We do love each other. We care for each other. It is important what's happening, but that love doesn't end in these walls. It spreads beyond that. Matthew chapter 22 says, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And the Great Commission is to go and teach. And oftentimes we do that through love. So today I want us to talk about the one body. Jesus prayed a prayer in John chapter 17, said, I pray that they may be one. Together we can be one. God has designed us as people to work together. Do you notice that in the church there has never been and there should never be a one-man show? We should always be working together in the body of Christ. When you go through scriptures, the Bible talks about all kinds of different and tells us all kinds of different kind of ideas of what the body is. The Bible uses phrases for the church like the bride of Christ, the family. We are part of the family of God. It tells us some of what we're supposed to do, what our mission is and what our goals are. But all in all, overall, there's a phrase that is used of the church. It's called the body. You read that in Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here in Ephesians chapter 4 and 5 and even in the book of Colossians, we are the body of Christ. So as the body of Christ, if we're going to do the things that God has called us to do, then there are some things that we need to know. So let's look at some of those things just real quick this morning. Here's the first thing I think we need to know as the body of Christ. You cannot properly or adequately understand your role. Underline the word your in there someplace. Your role in the body if you do not first recognize the head. You see, in the body, there has to be the head. You got it? Shake your head this way. Yeah, there has to be the head, okay? Without the head, none of us do very good, right? I mean, we would run around, we'd run into each other, we'd bunch off the walls. You know, you think traffic is bad now, you ain't seen nothing yet until you see it with a bunch of people with no heads, right? Listen to what Paul says, Ephesians 4, 1. As a partner for the Lord then, one God, one Father of all, who is over all, through all, in all, we become, he talks about being mature. But listen to this. Listen to what he says here. He says this in Colossians chapter 1. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. As you come into the building, and as you walk in here on Sunday morning or any time, have you ever thought about that idea? That we are a part of the body, but Christ is the head. That is really awesome when you think about it. When you think about Christ being the head of the body and all the implications that come with that. when we come in on Sunday morning to be together and worship, think about that. Christ is the head. And we come together here on Sunday morning to recognize the head. Now, I mean, there are all kinds of thoughts when we come into church on Sunday morning, isn't there? Like, oh man, I didn't think we'd ever get here this morning. I didn't think I'd ever get the kids out of bed and get here this morning. Or, I wonder if they changed brands of coffee, if it's any better today than it was last week. Or do we have Milton's Donuts today, or do we have Kroger's Donuts today? You know, let's look at the high priority things here when we come to church on Sunday morning. But how often do we come in and think, I get to come before the one who not only died for me, but is the head of the church, the head of the body. I get to come and stand before His throne today and worship Him and exalt Him and recognize Him and know who He is. Listen to what Ephesians chapter 1 says, beginning verse 19. We know His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one who is to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be what? The head over everything for the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. Christ is the head of the church. We are the body. We are the bride. We are His people on a mission. We are His family. And as the body of Christ, one of the things that we absolutely have to do is function together in every part. But we realize that the head calls the shot. The head calls the direction. The head tells the body what to do. It is the head that directs all of us, the body. Again, the body not just being the people sitting inside these four walls, but the body of Christ wherever it is in the world. And what did the body tell us to do? We looked at this a couple of weeks ago. Go and make disciples. In order for the body to be functioning correctly, the body has to be reproducing. That's the reason we listen to what David Ferguson had to say in the beginning of this. Why do you think churches are declining? Why do you think they are plateaued? I can tell you, there's one reason. They're not reproducing. It's real simple. It's real easy to look at. And if we're going to follow what Christ has for us as the body, as the head directs us, we need to be reproducing churches and Christians wherever we are. Now, one of the goals is that we reproduce those Christians here, correct? That we want to be a reproducing church that's reproducing Christians here. But that doesn't mean it has to stop here. We could reproduce Christians all over the place. Think of what the world would be like if we were producing and reproducing Christians wherever we are. Expanding the body of Christ. You talk about influence. We would have influence. And it wouldn't be influence about some green something or another that's going on someplace else that says don't fly airplanes anymore. Now, I have to tell you, when I heard that one, that really hit my heart when they said don't fly airplanes anymore. Nah, that's not what we're talking. We're talking about reproducing the body, and the head says, here's where we go. There's another thing you need to know. Every part of the body has an important function and mission. Every part of the body, no matter what, has a function and has a mission. Here's what Paul says about it, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as God apportioned it. This is why it says, when He ascended on high, He took many captives and gave gifts to His people. What does He ascended mean? Except that He also descended to the lower and earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all of the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip His people for the work of service. You know what that means? Guess what? You have a job. And so do I. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 says, just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. We are the body. We are one. Let me give you kind of an analogy or an illustration that you will probably understand very well. And that is the illustration of a family. If a family unit is working and functioning as it should be working and functioning, you know what's going to happen? Everybody in that family is going to have a job to do and a task and a role. Now, for some of the family, it may be to go out and make money so that we can have the things that we have and we can provide food and clothes and shelters and all those. But I don't care how old you are, everybody in that family has a job to do and has a role and has a task. And as parents, if we are not teaching our children that there is a responsibility in the family, then we are not teaching our children what we need to be teaching our children. Because everyone in the family has a role. Yes, it may be taking out the trash. It may be sweeping the floors. It may be cleaning the bathroom. I tell the guys at work all the time, I say, let me just tell you, if you guys don't clean the toilets, you know who's going to end up doing it? Me. We all have a role. We all have a task. Some of them are not the most favorite tasks. Agreed? But we all have a job, and we all have a responsibility. Stephen tells a story about when he was younger. Of course, I left home before Stephen did because I say 10 years, he says 11 years older. I just think he wants to sound that much younger than me is what it is. So there's about 10 or 11 years between us. And so obviously I'm the oldest, Stephen's the youngest. And when Stephen was leaving home, he tells the story about one time sitting around the table and saying something about, you know, you guys are going to really miss me when I'm gone. Just think about how quiet it's going to be. And if you know Stephen, you know this is the truth. Just think about how quiet it's going to be, how boring it's going to be. What are you guys going to do without me when I'm not here? And he says, Mom looked and said, are you kidding me? So we're looking forward to you being gone. But not for the reason you think. We're looking forward to you being gone because what our responsibility as parents was to get you ready to leave and go do the work that you need to do in this life. That's what parents do for children. We have raised you so that you are ready to go and do what you need to do. Man, there's a good lesson in there for all of us, isn't it? A good lesson that our responsibility as parents is to raise our children so that when the time is right, we do not want our children sitting in our house when they're 40 years old. Agreed, everybody?
Yes.
You know, we want them out. Thank you, Greg. Amen. Let's say it that way. We want them out. But how do we get them out? We prepare them for what they're supposed to do and help them to realize what they're supposed to do. The same is true in the church. The church people come in, yes, they are infants and they're growing up and maturing in Christ. But there comes a time where they need to get out of these doors and they need to do the things that God has called them to do. And every single one of you sitting here today has a God-sized mission. I don't know what it is always, but I know you do. It may be getting in and ministering to people in some way or another. You know, you may be just one of those people that loves to have others over at your house. And you can minister to them in that way. You know, it may be working in missions some way or another. We have some good opportunities for missions that you can be involved in. As a matter of fact, Tim sitting back here is wanting to plan some mission trips sometimes. I don't know when he's going to do it, but he's going to. Matter of fact, most of you may know or may not know, Tim and Janet were on the mission field in Africa for some time. And so missions is really a heart of theirs. We know Pramod and Ranjana, they keep saying all the time, come with me, let's go to India and let's do the trip together. We had a guy here about 4 weeks ago from Pakistan. And he said, you know, I'm back at Pakistan quite often. He said, I'd love to have you come to Pakistan sometime. And so I know that if we got with him, he would help us get something together to go to Pakistan. Right now at Axis Mason, they are planning a trip into the Appalachians, to work in the Appalachians for a while. My point is there are all kinds of opportunities that are out there, things we can do. You may be one who works with people who are less fortunate than you are. Or you may be someone who just helps somebody with going through a trial, a sickness, cancer, or something else. That may be your ministry. I can guarantee you this. God has something in mind for every one of you that's bigger than you are. It's bigger than what you can accomplish. and it's bigger than what you can do. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. We are the body. When I hurt, you hurt. When I rejoice, you rejoice. When great things are going with you, with each other, we together, we laugh and we hug each other and we love it. But you know, as the body, we are connected. How many of you ever hit your thumb with your hammer, with a hammer, or your finger with a hammer? Have you ever done that? Have you ever noticed how something as small as that can affect all of your body? I mean, as soon as I thought about bringing a hammer in, having Will or somebody come up and let me try it so you could actually illustrate it, but I decided not to do that. Have you ever noticed that when you do that, your heart rate kind of goes up a little bit, right? You know, your eyes start watering. You may start jumping around and running around and holding your thumb. There may even be some things so your mouth can participate in all this a little bit if you want it to, right? But you ever notice how when one little part of the body hurts, the rest of the body gets involved? That's the way of the body of Christ is too. We are all interconnected, no matter who we are. When the body of Christ is suffering in one place, then we all suffer. When we rejoice together, we all rejoice together. We all stand together. There's another thing that you need to know and think about and keep in mind, and that's this. When the body functions together, good things happen. When the body works together and functions together, God is going to do some incredible things. Listen to what Paul goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 4. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful schemings. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. When we function together, things happen. Our goal is to build each other up. Our goal is to honor Christ. Our goal is to grow to maturity in faith, but our goal is also to help build and grow the body. If you are a parent and you have a young child, and at some point in time of that young child's life, they stop growing and they stop developing before they're mature, before adulthood, what are you going to do? If your child is 5 years old, and they are not yet talking as well as they should be or walking as well as they should be, what are you going to do first thing? You're going to the doctor, right? You're going to go find out what is wrong, because I anticipate and expect my child to be at this level, at this stage of their development. Think about that in the church, in the body of Christ. If in the body of Christ we are not growing together and we have not come to that stage, then we need to look and say, what's going on? Because we realize the body that functions together, good things are going to happen. Growth is going to take place. Those good things are going to be a part of it. And therefore, we need to look and say, wait a minute, what's going on? And it's as we do that, that we are become stronger and stronger and stronger, so that we're not tossed back and forth. So that we can stand firm and strong, so that we can mature in Christ, so that we do grow as individuals and we do grow as the body of Christ. You know, the church in America in general is failing. In large part, it's not where we want it to be. 85% of the churches are plateaued or declining. In our area, there are only about 16 or 17% of the population that associate in any way with a church of any kind. Actually, it's interesting, that reflects where our nation is also. As a whole, our nation, there are about 17% that say some way or another they're associated with the church. Statistics tell us by about 2050 that there will only be a little over 10% of the people in America who will have any association with the church. You know what that means for us who are a little older? That means our kids and our grandkids are going to grow up in a culture different than we knew before. They're going to grow up in a culture totally different than anything we've experienced. Our job and our responsibility as the body of Christ today is to make sure that we can influence our community as strongly as we possibly can in what Christ wants and where He sends us. You know, this different culture that we're in, this different era that we are in right now, means that the area between right and wrong is no longer as black and white as it used to be. It's becoming very gray today. Have you noticed that? That morality today is totally different than what it used to be. And see, we cannot sit as the church, as the head has directed us, we cannot sit idly by and let that happen. It's time for us to stand up, to be strong, to stand firm, to grow the body of Christ so that we can influence the world around us. And one of the best ways to do that is connect together with Christians, other Christians, for us to connect together with Axis at Mason and them to connect with us, for us to connect with other Christians and people so that we can grow to do what God wants us to do. You know, we are the body. We do the functioning. Christ is the head. He does the directing. And when the body functions together, good things happen. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head. And that is Christ. Bow your heads for a minute, if you will. I want you to think about what that means to be the body of Christ. What it means to function in the body. What's your role? What's your job? What's your task? What's your responsibility? What's God calling you to do? Because I guarantee you, God is calling you to do something bigger than you are doing right now. God is calling you to do, to be more involved than you are right now. God has plans for you that are bigger than anything you've ever seen. So are you willing to step out? Are you willing to do what He's called you to do? Are you willing to participate as the body of Christ? God help all of us as Christian people to be a part of the body, to participate, to understand our function and our role, and then work together to serve You. We want Your body, the bride of Christ, to grow, and we know that's going to happen through each of us. So help us to commit ourselves to see the church grow, to meet what You have given us as the head, that directive to follow You, and help us in every way just to recognize You and to recognize that You are the one that's sending us, and then to be able to stand before You and hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Stand up and let's sing.